When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Parshas Kisisa is a complicated story in our history because Kisisa contains the Egel, the Chet of the Egel. The exact sin of the Egel needs a lot of studying. Certainly there was some inyan of Avodah Zarah, but you're talking about the Dor Dea, the greatest generation, the generation that saw Yetzias Mitzrayim, the generation that was Mekabel the Torah. You're talking about really the greats in our history, and it needs to be studied carefully what they wanted. According to many Rishonim, they wanted something very similar to the Mishkan. They wanted some Beis HaMikdash. It's interesting, there was an item, an Egel built. They wanted something that Hashem could be shown, like some way to connect to Hashem. And they wanted some item that the Shechina is like Shaira on, and it's a way very similar to a Mishkan. Now, to want a Mishkan, to want a Beis HaMikdash is not a big crime. We yearn for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And it needs work, what they wanted. They knew there's a Hashem. And they knew Moshe Rabbeinu was missing. The whole story was Moshe was late in coming. Maybe the Egel... I have different reasons why the Egel fascinates me. It could be because I'm a Levi, and me and Avi Beitler are on the good side of history. The Kanim and Leviim, we did not do the Cheda Egel, so maybe that's why the Egel is like interesting to me. Another reason is anything connected to being late, and I'm like interested in sugyas. And Moshe Rabbeinu came late. There was Baishesh Moshe Laredes. Moshe Rabbeinu delayed in coming down, and Klal Yisrael freaked. We freaked without Moshe Rabbeinu, that we need our Rebbe. We need Moshe Rabbeinu. And we freaked without Moshe Rabbeinu. What the Aveira, what the Ched is, needs studying. I'm not prepared right now. Maybe over Shabbos, I want to think about it. I don't want to be old. I want to be fresh. So I want to study it again this week. I didn't get the chances yet. I'd like to study, if people here study, what the Ched of the Egel, what was the sin of the Egel that would be worthy. One of the things I want to say to the Chevra is the Egel was a very small miyad of Klal Yisrael. A very small part. It could be the Erev Rav, a very small part. Fascinating that it's considered such a blot on our whole nation. This was considered a chet, something that was deep in our whole people. It was a very small part of Klai's one through the Egel. One of the stories of the Egel that certainly we have to understand is that we have to think about our people. It's not just ourselves. And the responsibility for Klal Yisrael, for even a chet, I would say the numbers, percentage-wise, of us doing Klal Yisrael did the Egel, would be the equivalent in the whole yeshiva if one or two guys would do something. And we'd say, you guys did. It's very funny. Waterbury guys have such a mark on them that they're so noticeable. There's a unity. When I used to be in Camp Heller with Avi and his mishpacha, so Birch, all the time, things like this happened. A guy would say, I remember a specific scenario, but things like this. A guy called up from the complex. I was walking on the football field. Rebbe, like, we're killing the Waterbury guys. Like, oh, you know, because I go walk down to the game. There's a basketball, good game, some league game. And, like, the team had one or two guys from the yeshiva on it. Like, as if, like, he's beating the Waterbury team. But a guy was proudly identified as a yeshiva guy. He's like, we're killing the Waterbury guys. He identified a team as a Waterbury team. There was a guy on it. The story of the Egel is the Yidden sin. The Yidden, it was a couple of guys. The equivalent of Klal Yisrael would be two guys in yeshiva do something. Somebody would say the whole yeshiva. The whole yeshiva, two guys did that. Everybody there, it's two guys. The The reality is that we're a people and we're responsible. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh. One of the stories that has to be understood from the Egel is that when they're members of Klal Yisrael struggling in a certain way, we all bear responsibility. And the questions, what do you do? Where were you? What did you try to solve? We're part of a people to think that way. The video we saw this week, there was many amazing things. When she says, I'm not an Ishprati, I'm not a private person, I'm part of a people. She said, we talk that way in our family. That was like, wow. This lady described, I'm not a private person, it's not a private situation right now. There's a war. She said, our family talks about our people. I was so like moved by that. It's something in my own home I want to give over to my kids always. The sense we're part of a people. For years, we go to a Pesach hotel. One of my favorite things is I live on a small mountain, in a small community. One of my favorite things is the sense we're part of a broader people. I just like my kids meeting Yidden from all different places and feeling very part of the people. We're part our people, our nation. I want them to have a pride, a sense of that, thinking about our people, the state of our people. There's a big opportunity now by davening, by really like not just say we're sitting here, so it only affects us a very small ripple practically in our lives. We get an anti-Semitic line here, we see a sign up there, and we say there it affects in only a small way, but this is our people. Our people's in a difficult matziv. Our people is going through something. To daven for it, to understand that we're part of a people, linked and connected to a people. I think studying the Egel and seeing the culpability, the responsibility that we have one for another brings up that sense. We're part of a people, and it matters what our people, what's happening by our people. Sometimes I think to myself, well, could anybody have done something? What do you want? Some people are doing wrong. Clearly, Hashem saying it's a head of our nation means that we can do something. And certainly the very least we could do is ask ourselves, what could I do for our nation? We're part of a people. To think about our people, to think what we could do for our people. To me, certainly guys in yeshiva, right now with the war, daven for our people. Daven for our people, have our people in mind, and be a person who what she described, I'm not an Ishprati. I have my own uniqueness, but I also have something that I'm part of a people and care about my people. I think about the energy of the soldiers. Their guys daily wake up and go to war for our people. The energy is nuts. I'm inspired by that. I want to tap into that for me. Their guys getting up there and you hear them talk. You read letters of soldiers who have been killed. That energy of my people. And that lady, I showed that video. One of the things I wanted to see, did you see this video? It's Kedai to see, it's an hour. It could be quicker than your fast forward commercials. I don't want to hurt anybody. But this lady, Hadassah Lowenstern, we played it for the yeshiva. And she speaks, she lost her husband, an incredible human being, incredible people, her and her husband. And she describes, I'm not an Ishprati, and she, like a normal person, describes thinking about our nation. I wanted guys to see that. I'd love to acquire, that's something that we all can acquire, that type of, that mindset, that understanding. All of us can acquire that understanding and work towards understanding I'm not an Ishprati, I'm part of a nation, I'm part of a people. I think davening for our people now, both you're tapping into it, and like Chitzonis Beres Apnimius, you could actually get it. Davening, my nation, my people. I don't want to like somebody, one of our Chevra, one of the most special guys in the Chevra was here one night this week. Somebody walked in the Beis Medrash late at night and saw one of the best guys in yeshiva in the Beis Medrash saying Tillim late at night. It shouldn't be a chiddush. And all of us, randomly, I beg the guys, all of us, me and you, take a random time alone somewhere and just say Tillim, of course, for our people. It should be normal. It should be normal right now. It should be very, and again, I'm not guilting anybody. It's hard to always, we're human. And it's hard, it's not in front of us. It's not necessarily, even though if you look up the news, you see the pictures, the whole world's talking about it. But you have opportunity to say an extra capital, to open up. Maybe we wouldn't have normally, if we're on a plane, a train, in a car, maybe in normal times we wouldn't have done this. But now it does make sense to open a tilam. It shouldn't be such a chiddush to randomly open a tilam. I'm saying a couple kapitel. Why? Because our people's in a pretty difficult matzav, and I'm saying tilam for our people. I advise it, encourage it, and you're building something in yourself, an attachment and understanding. I think just hearing the things about soldiers, there's an energy there that's wild. These guys have something. There's an energy of my people. One of the things that's striking, we're coming towards Megillas Esther, is Esther Amalka, the opportunity to stand up for her people. Rebbe Mordechai says, Rebbe Hatzel Yam Makamachiv, you have an opportunity to stand up for her people. And this Hadassah Lowenstein on that video discussed. She said, if you had an opportunity to be Mordechai, who wouldn't be Mordechai Atzadik? Who wouldn't be Mordechai? She said, would a guy say, I'm too tired today? The pashtus to her of the schus of standing up for our people, like the pashtus. She lost her husband, 13 years, she's married, beautiful family, and the pashtus of who wouldn't be Mordechai? A chance to stand up for our people? Who wouldn't stand up for our people? That pashtus is so powerful. I think there's a kedusha, there's an energy that a person can acquire that's in the world right now. Nothing's a coincidence. This is a power in the world. The main ruach the soldiers are bringing to the world, the Yiddish soldiers, is my people, my nation. One of our guys described to me that he was going to Gaza. And he said what motivated me, he heard the story of a specific hostage. He said, I am going to get her. It like motivated him. He's going for Yidden. He's fighting for something. He's injured. He was like very motivated that this particular hostage should get out of prison. And there's such a cool energy of people that are getting up and fighting with the chiyus. If you think about it honestly, I don't know how the army works. I'm not there. I don't know the exact details. But I suspect the soldier could easily, like, twist his ankle and he needs to go to the hospital and then he's out of warfare. Oh, my ankle. He has mono and then, like, they could get out of it. They could go to the... And they know the risks. And it's not... I know they're mandatory conscript... They're drafted. They have to be in the army mandatory. But they can get out of fighting. Relatively easy, I imagine. Being sick, not feeling well. They're going to fight. The energy coming out of there is an incredible energy. And we're hearing ripple effects of it. Of people saying, every once in a while you hear a letter from a soldier who was nifter. The sense, my people, please understand that it's worth it, my people. There's an energy coming out that I want us here to tap in. I ask us in our prayers, my people. Talk to Hashem about our people. Think about our people. View it that way. I think that's an energy of the time. So one of the lessons of the Chet HaEgel, one of the lessons is our people, because the Chet was done by a very small minority of our people. And the whole Ummah's punished. It's something that was relevant to the entirety of our nation. That's how we work. We're for each other. Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze LeZeh. We have responsibilities for each other. That's how our people work. We're linked and bound, and it matters. Be a person who thinks like that. Don't just be an Ishprati, as she described. Be somebody who thinks about our people. We could do this in our communities. We could do this in our yeshiva, in our communities, in our families. Rabbi Brownstein, who is Ruchama Chaya from Rabbi Pinchas? What? Wow. Such a tzedkus. Okay. Beautiful. There's some isha, Ruchama Chaya from Ben Reb Dov Pinchas. Her neshama should have an aliyah. It's real stuff. There's a lady out there who's in Olam Haba, resides in Olam Haba, and in her memory, they donated beautiful coverings for the table. So should be an ilui for a precious neshama. I want to share something, but we'll get back to the parsha. I want to share something with the chevra. I had wanted to share Dvar Torah this week, and I was very, very moved by the way her approach to Torah, this Hadassah Lewinstein, her approach to learning. She described not knowing what it meant to be a Yid, and she went to the Beit Midrash to like find out, and she opened the Torah to like study what Hashem wants from us. There was a magic of the way she approached it. We were learning in yeshiva that week. I didn't want guys, okay, Dvar Torah, and the guy's like, I pasha took all the chumash. One of the guys started like taking the chumash. I was like, don't touch. He's like, sorry. I put all the chumash, right, Silverman. I wanted to give out the chumashim, and I wanted the guys to open up like she. I almost looked, the Rebbeim should hold all the svarim. Like, you need, like, here's Hashem's Torah. I want to show you. If you approach it, I really want to find out what Hashem wants from me with curiosity, with an interest, with understanding. Hashem's like telling me stuff. That's how she approached Torah for 3 years and her whole life. But she describes those 3 years of like wanting to be a good Jew and like, where do I find out? I can invent svaras and things. Let me really study Torah and find out like what. And she went to the Beit Midrash to find out what does Hashem want? What is Hashem into? What does he say? And she learned Torah. That day, I put all the chumashim here and I gave them out. I gave them out like just carefully. I wanted to present the guy with a chumash. I happen to like that in yeshiva on Friday night, we give out the challahs. Really, right, Brownstein does it. I try to chip in. I just like the love, the recognition of each guy, and you give him his rolls for the suda. I just like it. I promise we could do many other things. We just put the challah rolls on every plate very easily. I like the handing the rolls, and each guy gets a good Shabbos. It's just precious to me. The chumash that each person here. So this week it happened. Hashem is so kind, Aryeh. Hashem is so kind. Because this week it happened here, and I stacked up chumashim, and then I gave out. And somebody tried to give out. I was like, wait, I don't mind he gave. I didn't want to have to be the giver. I just wanted that a guy was like presented with his chumash. Hashem is so kind, right? Sun and Shine told me this week. He was telling me that for the last number of years, he's zeiche to give out the chumashim. And he told me after we had this story here, he told me that this week, I think he gave out, he told me this week, I don't know when he gave it out, that he's zeiche to give out, to go when the first graders get their chumashim, the first grade girls in the city, and he's gone for years. And he described to me in detail, after I had this story here, how he loves he loves handing the children their chumashim. And he just appreciates that event that they're handed a chumash. This is Hashem's Torah. You're getting Hashem's Torah. He talks a lot to the girls, the moment. And he's not like a showman. And I know what he means. I've been zeichet to be at events like this with my own kids. It's electric to me. They're getting a chumash. And whenever I'm at these events, I ask myself, when I take a chumash, I want to think about it. Now it's normal, it's not easy, it's not the first time. These events, I'm excited for you all. Aryeh is about to build a home. It's electric. When your kid gets a chumash, there's nothing, not just nothing cynical about the event, it's crazy. Whatever they do, and they obviously do things, they're professional morus, and they have, whatever they do is not enough. Like, it's not like, oh, you're making a show. They're getting a chumash. They're like, bro, when the kid gets a siddur, forget about it. Kid gets a chumash, crazy. They're handed a chumash. They're going to learn Hashem's Torah. And they're going to start to open the chumash and the journey. It's crazy. When she said it, Hadassah Lowenstein, well, she went to the Beis Medrash to study, to find out. If any, in this yeshiva, the fact that you take off pressures and all the things to learn, we can relate to this. I see guys like decide, I'm going to learn. It has the energy. It has that. I'm watching. There's a whole group now. We have a whole like second Seder Matzah. Avi, Yisrael, Shloima, Aaron Tikartsky, around here, guys are learning this, like that type of area. I want to learn. Like, hey, let me find. There's like a decision. We're not pressure, no detention. Nobody's being paid to do it. No incentive. They're like people. I watch, there's an energy in the shiurim like that. I've been doing a lot of interviews and seeing the shiurim. Parents watch guys sit around the shiurim. I do a lot of interviews in the room next door. It's 1:30. The guys don't budge. Shiur ended 10 to 1. But there's a certain, they're curious. They're discussing with Rai Shapiro serious stuff. There's an energy of people coming to learn Hashem's Torah. So Rai Sonnenschein described to me this event of giving out the Chumashim and describing to kids that Hashem handed us His precious Torah. And the girls are on fire with an excitement. They're getting the Torah Hashem. They hold Chumashim near and dear. And it was so interesting that he told me that just on the week that I gave out Chumashim here. I might get the guys to do songs. It could be we'll start like making, could be I should make songs and have a day. We had a Shabbos day in Yeshiva. I wonder, guys are starting to learn Gemara. We should have a day, Rabbi Brownson, to hand out Gemaras. We'll gather the whole yeshiva, and slowly, I wash Rairas's chevra, the shavia handing the. I like that Rebbeim aren't just shoving it down the guys' throats. There's a certain, and we're not learning till you understand this precious. We're not. I'm not like shoving Gemara. No. It's a schos asher bacharbanu. I had this years ago in the Beis Medrash. My son reminded me there was a period I felt guys were taking Torah for granted, and I decide. He says I charge guys to come to shiur for a while. Could be. It could be I made guys pay. So get out, you don't want to pay? Leave. I just was upset. It was in the Bay, it was before the high school started, and I had a sense. So it's supposed to learn Torah. You just show up, you come down. Rebbeim should start making it. You want to like make a tasty. It's not a for granted to open up, to learn Hashem's Torah. I want to ask Rebbeim and ask the guys. You have to make a bracha before you learn Torah. I wonder the Rebbeim should ask in the shir. The bracha on Torah is Asher Bachar Banu. Thank you, Hashem. It's the bracha. It's very interesting. It's different than every other bracha on a mitzvah avla. Maybe this, if you want a Dvar Torah, I'm ranting. If you want it to be in a Dvar Torah form, every bracha on a mitzvah, Kivali. Welcome home, Kivali. Welcome home. Every bracha, Kivali, on a mitzvah, is Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvaysav, you will mekadish us with mitzvahs. And you can answer me this. That's the standard bracha. Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvaysav, v'tzivanu al netilas yadayim. Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvaysav, v'tzivanu laniach tefillin. Every bracha is the same format. What's the bracha on Torah? Asher Bachar Banu mikolo amim. You chose a small nation. You gave us the Torah. It's a different type of bracha than all the brachas. There is two brachas. We make two brachas on Torah. We have two birchas on Torah. You're not allowed to learn till you make birchas on Torah. If you come to shiur and you didn't make birchas on Torah, I wonder that the Rebbeim should start asking, did you make the bracha yet? You can't learn. It's like a schos. It's like, you think you just learn? Make a bracha. You're about to learn Torah. What'd you say? That's great. Yosef wants to know. Brown said, Yosef, we're learning Lifnei'ivir ben Astarim. Maybe to teach, and a guy didn't make Be'er Satar is Lifnei'ivir. He's not allowed to learn. The answer is on Shomei, on listening. If he doesn't say it, then there's no, you're allowed to, it's Machloikis, the Gra and the Chayadim, who are Mechutanim. They're related. And the Gra and the Chayadim have a Machloikis. Do you need Be'er Satar for thinking Torah? If you didn't say it for thinking Torah. It's interesting, the word v'gisa v'yayim v'layla, higisa means to contemplate, to think. So I forgot who says which way. One of them says for thinking, Torah, you need birchas haTorah. Do you remember which one, right, Glazer? And one of them says you don't need. It's machlokes the Gra and the Chayadim. So I say, what? That you can't, unless you make a bracha? I don't remember.
That story that like he forgot, like
because he did that?
Yeah.
Gershi says, the Gra I trust, and Gershi I trust. So Gersh says that the Gra says that you need a bracha for thinking Torah. The Chayadim says you do not need a bracha for thinking Torah. So it's a machloikis, what did you say? It's a daraisa. Thank you for pointing that out. Every bracha on a mitzvah is the Rabbanan. Every single bracha is a chiyuv d'rabbanan. The only bracha we say on a mitzvah, that's the daraisa, the only bracha on a mitzvah, that's the daraisa, is birchas haTorah. The bracha on every single other mitzvah is a chiyuv derabanan. The bracha on Torah, the Shagas Aryeh proves this. It's a shayla. The Shagas Aryeh, whatever he says, I go by. The Shagas Aryeh says that the bracha on Torah is a chiyuv deraisa. Now we make two brachas on Torah. We say Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvayis avitzivanu lasek b'devrei Torah. That's like the standard blessing. That's the standard. Blessed are you, Hashem, Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvayisav. You give us kedush through mitzvahs, and you commanded us to be Isaac and Devrei Torah. That language, I admit, is the standard bracha aval on every mitzvah. It follows the format. All of a sudden, on Torah avi is a second bracha. Asher bracha b'ano. That does not follow the normal format of a bracha on a mitzvah. Why this unique blessing? Every mitzvah kivali. The bracha is Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvayisav. Mitzvahs give us kedusha, and you commanded me this mitzvah. It's every bracha on a mitzvah. Torah has that as well. Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvayisav. Mitzvahs give me kedusha, and you commanded me to learn Torah. So that's the standard bracha mitzvah. But we have a second bracha, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Amim. Baruch Ata Hashem Kimel Cholam, that you chose us from all the nations and you gave us Torah. Unusual. But I say the bracha on Torah is that I feel fortunate to have this. It almost runs counters to force kids to learn. To me, like there's no, my father always held in chinuch. My father never once in my life pressured me to learn, never once. And I think like he doesn't need my haskama. You can't force somebody to learn Torah. How do they make the bracha on Torah? You're not allowed to learn until you say, I'm lucky to learn. Learn. I'm not allowed to learn until I make the bracha. Oh, what's the bracha? I'm lucky to learn. So learn and like it. I don't. So to me, I like, yeah, Asher Bracha Banu. A Rebbe has to say, you know, and maybe it will take a year or two or three, till the bracha is taught a Shabbat. It's a long time to make a good bracha. Shabbat Rabbanu Mikolo Amim. In Waterbury, that's the sheet. If someone says, what's the sheet of the yeshiva? You have to say a Shabbat Rabbanu before you learn Torah. Zehu. That's the sheet of the yeshiva. A bracha wanted to come to yeshiva this week, and a Rebbe told him, just be prepared. You're not learning Gemara this year. I want to reframe that. Be prepared that before you learn Gemara, you're going to say Asher Bachar Banu Mikolo Amim. I'd like to reframe. You hear the Rebbe said, just be prepared. You're not going to learn Gemara. You'll learn Gemara. You're just going to make Asher Bachar. And by the way, it's us that will learn Gemara until you make Asher Bachar Banu. Don't you dare learn Gemara. And when I said Asher Bachar, if you don't say it and mean it, Asher Bachar Banu Mikolo Amim, you got your Chumash. Asher Bachar Banu Mikolo Amim and Asan Lanu as Tairasai. Then you could learn. You say, thank you, Hashem, that I have a Torah. And I may take a little time to make the bracha, as long as you need to make the bracha. If it takes you an hour or two or a few months, just make the bracha. And then learn Hashem's precious Torah. So that's the bracha that we make, the two brachas that a Yid makes in every single time. It's interesting, even the first bracha, that's the standard bracha. So you say, Kalish, what about the first bracha? The first bracha, even there we say a prayer. Fascinatingly, even the bracha that we say, Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvayisav, that follows the normal format, you say right afterwards, Vaharivna, and it's called the bracha arucha. It's a long bracha. So there's a prayer in the middle of this bracha. The bracha, every bracha we make on a mitzvah, we say, Hashem, you gave me kedusha from mitzvah, and you commanded me this. The bracha on Torah is Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvayisav, v'tzivanu lasek b'divrei Torah, normal bracha. Then we pray, v'harev na Hashem l'kenu. Please let Torah be sweet. Arev means sweet. Koylech arev umare. Arev means sweet. V'harev na Hashem l'kenu is divrei Torah. Please let the words of Torah be sweet to me. Befinu in our mouths, ubefi amcha beis Yisrael, in the mouth of your nation, Klal Yisrael. We ask Hashem for mesikas haTorah. We ask Hashem that Torah should be zistas. We want it sweet. We want it sweet. So even a very unusual, we make a bracha on every mitzvah, but we don't say, let the mitzvah be geshmak for me. On Torah, part of what we say in making a bracha on Torah is, I want it to be sweet to me, baharimna. So guilty as charged, the yeshiva, a guy said, you go there, they're not going to stuff the Torah down your throat. They're not going to ram it down. Correct. guilty as charged. We're people, before we learn Torah, we pray, v'harev na'ashem l'ked, I want it to be sweet to me. I want it to be meaningful to me. Yeah.
What's the second translation again of Asher Bacharbanim? What's the translation of Asher
Bacharbanim? Asher Bacharbanim, Mikol Amim, who chose us from all the nations, the Nasan Lanu was Torah, and handed us his Torah. Baruch atah Hashem, bless you Hashem, Naisen HaTorah, the giver of Torah. Thank you Hashem, the giver of Torah. We're chosen. We feel Zchus. Asher Bacharbanim, Mikol Amim, chose us from all nations. Feel lucky to learn this. Then you open up. I remember Yosef. For a long time, I had wanted to learn with a certain person. He's a big Rosh Yeshiva today, and for a long time, I like was angling to learn with a certain guy. He was the best guy around, brilliant at learning, and I wanted to have a seder with him. He was my age. He was like a goyin b'tayra balmidas. I really wanted a seder with him. And I angled for a long time. I asked him. I wasn't so assertive, and I was like afraid to say. But I got, and one Bein Hazmanim, he said, "Let's learn Bein Hazmanim at night." Now, for some reason, I committed that Bein Hazmanim to work in a camp in Eretz Yisrael, and I had like 20 kids in my bunk, and I was working Bein Hazmanim. I was a counselor in a camp. And it was in the sun. The camp was very, very hectic. It's a wonderful place, but if a camp has a normal seder, then you can almost tap in. You're not asked which is the counselor. I basically ran a camp from my bunk. Tamir Goodman was in my bunk, the famous Baltimore guy from Baltimore was in my bunk. And I ran a bunk, but I ran a camp. It wasn't like so organized, the camp, where you could just... What? We had a one-on-one running the whole summer. We did have after camp ended, we had a one-on-one running. He was 13 and sure, he probably won, I don't remember. But I definitely want to say I beat Tamir Goodman, but I don't know if it's true. But the bottom line is... What? We were good friends, we're good pals. But the bottom line is that... That I was a counselor, but I really ran my camp because, you know what I mean? So by the night, I was exhausted. And I come to this guy, and I literally couldn't follow. I couldn't learn him. I was tired. I was in the sun all day. I was dehydrated. It was a pathetic matzav. And I waited a long time to learn with him, and he was good in learning. And I would sit there. I couldn't focus in. And here was like a seder I was excited by, and certainly wanted to engage in this seder. And I couldn't do it properly. It was like a frustrating. It was a frustrating thing. But I want to say that I remember thinking that this is frustrating. I'm tired. I can't concentrate. I haven't learned all day. But I remember also feeling Mesikas HaTorah more than during the Zman, the sweetness of Torah. Because all day, even just to hear him say things that I wasn't fully following, and for a say that I wanted badly, but I appreciated the sweetness of Torah. All day running around, there was something very, very Zis about hearing Torah and hearing a person learn. I couldn't follow, I was tired, it was a say that had frustration built in. I remember that as a period of very much appreciating Torah. Just Mesikas HaTorah, sweetness of Torah. And this point of the Zchus, Asher Bacharbanim, that was Zaycha to learn Torah, I felt it this week when she described her approach, that she felt fortunate to be able to figure out what Hashem wants and to learn with that type of appreciation, but to open the Sefer in that way. And then we had that Seder here where we put all the chumashim and gave them out. Then Rabbi Sonnenschein told me about this giving out the chumashim to the kids. So I wanted to share that with the chevra. I wanted to encourage, before we learn, you make Asher Bacharbanim. What we do, Avla, is after we make these two brachas, Aaron, we make two brachas on Torah, we then learn. We say psukim from the Torah, Yevarechecha Hashem Yishmerecha. The reason we say that is we want to learn Torah. Now, I want to say something to the chevra. I want to tell you something cool. If you think we just like picked any psukim, why those psukim? We want to learn after Birchas HaTorah. We just said Birchas HaTorah. And now we want to learn Torah. You have to learn right after. Whenever you say a bracha on a mitzvah, you got to do the mitzvah right after. So you say Yivarechecha right after we learn. Yivarecha Hashem Yishmerecha Yara Hashem Panav Elecha. We learn in order that our bracha should be chal on the learning. That's why we say Yivarecha Hashem Yishmerecha. Why those psukim? Of all the psukim to say, Yosef, have you ever wondered why we say that? So it definitely is interesting. We say two things. We say Yivarecha Hashem Yishmerecha. And then we say a Mishnah, we want to learn Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. We made a bracha on Torah, so then we learn both parts of Torah. We learn Torah Shebichsav, we say Yivarechecha Hashem Yishmerecha. Then we learn Torah Shebaal Peh, and we say Elu Dvarim Shein Lem Shir, and we speak about Torah. We speak about Torah. I want to say to the Chevra that the Torah Shebaal Peh we learn is a Mishnah, and the Mishnah describes things that give us an Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Do you think it's a coincidence that the Mishnah, the Torah Shebaal Peh we learn, is how much Torah gives us? Elu dvarim sh'adam oichel perasein b'olam hazeh. These are the things that a person gets the benefit in this world. Va'keren k'yem olam haba. But it stays. You could get the benefits in this world, but it still stays around olam haba. You get in this world and the next. And we give a list of things that give you. Normally, we have a principle: schar mitzvah bayal malekah. There's no schar for mitzvah in this world. Hayom la'saisa machlekav schar. Schar is in olam haba. But we have a list of things that you gain in this world and olam haba. Kibud av v'em, honoring one's parents. Gemilas chasadim, acts of kindness. Hashgamas beis medrash shachris v'arvis, going early to the beis medrash in the morning and staying late at night. Hachnasas archim, hosting guests. Bikur chaylim, visiting the sick. Hachnasas kala, helping somebody get married. Levayas ameis, accompanying the dead, walking after a mace. Iyun tfila. Hava shalom adam l'chaveira. Talmud Torah keneged kulam, and Torah is keneged all of them. And so what Torah Shebaal Peh do we quickly learn after we make a bracha on Torah? The Torah Shebaal Peh that speaks about how great Torah is, how much it gives us, which follows this theme. That's the first thing we learn all day. A Yid, the first Torah a Yid learns all day is how fortunate he is he has Torah. That's the first Torah. Yivarechecha needs a pshat. It is speaks about Hashem blessing us. We need to study why that's the piece of Torah that we choose to learn. It is a very positive piece. We do need to study that piece of Torah while we learn. I'm going to share a story that I've told to the Chevra before, only because it came to my mind now, reading Elu Dvarim. And that Reb Dan Segel says, something comes to your mind when you're speaking, share it. Hashem wants you to share it, so I'm going to do that. I'm going to tell you a good story about Elu Dvarim, the first piece of Torah that we learn every day. The first piece of Torah after we've made Birchas HaTorah speaks about how good it is to learn Torah, that it gives you schar in Olam Hazeh and it stays around for Olam Haba. That's the first piece of Torah we learn all day. In that piece of Torah, Avi, I think I told you this story, there was a Yid Rev Kreisworth, Rev Chaim Kreisworth. Rav Chaim Kreisworth was a brilliant, brilliant Talmud Chacham. It is said on him, I heard him speak, it is said on him that he knew Shas, Milav Milav, word for word, Baal Peh. I can't say that Eidos, it is said on that he knew Shas, word for word, Bavli and Yerushalmi, as he says. I heard him speak, the way he would quote things with an exactness. He would quote names. I only heard Reb Miller. Reb Miller and Reb Chaim Kreisler, the way they quoted the Gemara, they were like chewing a delicious steak. It was like delightful for him, the way he quoted. Reb Ezi, give to the Chevra.
Yeah, I don't know by heart what meant. How you doing?
But Rav Kreisler was a Gaon b'Torah. Rav Chaim Kreisler was the Rav in Antwerp. And Rav Chaim Kreisler had a son, had a Talmud. Appropriate slip up, a Talmud's a son. He had a Talmud slash son whose name was Rav Ratman. Rav Ratman was one of the princes of our people. We were Zaycha in Yeshiva many, many years ago, about 20 years ago. He said a eulogy in the Beis Medrash on his Rebbe, Rav Kreisworth, an incredible speech about his Rebbe, Rav Chaim Kreisworth. Rev Ratman was the starter of the yeshiva Merkez HaTorah, which morphed into TC. Both those yeshivas, the Rosh Yeshiva who started the yeshiva was Rev Ratman. He started Merkez HaTorah. He was a Rav in Florida, moved to Eretz Yisrael after a few stops and started the yeshiva Merkez HaTorah. His Rebbe was Rav Chaim Kreisworth. Rev Ratman brought in his Rebbe. So he was the Rosh Yeshiva of Merkez, but put his Rebbe on top of him. Some, I don't know the exact arrangement, but Rav Kreisworth was the Shtickle Rosh Yeshiva of what? Did I get that right? Perfect. So Rev Kreisworth, a lot of our guys, Rev Ezi was zeicher to learn in Merkez HaTorah, and a lot of the initial people who started Waterbury came from Merkez HaTorah. They had been by this Rebbe Talmud, Rev Ratman and Rev Chaim Kreisworth. Rev Kreisworth was very, very sick, and doctors gave him very little time left to live. They said, I think he had a month left. I don't know the exact details, but he was told that he had very, very little time left to live. And he went to the stipler, obviously very broken. That doctor said his time on this earth is limited. The stipler read him this Mishnah, Elu Dvarim. The stipler, he went to the stipler and said, I've got a month to live. And the stipler read him Elu Dvarim, where it says the things that give you schar in this world and the next. And in the list of things, it says achnasas archim, hosting guests, biker chaylim, visiting the sick, hachnasas kala, marrying a kala off, whether it means dancing in front of a kala, or it means paying for the limousine, or paying for the marriage, hachnasas kala, levayas ames, and accompanying the dead. Ask the stipler, Biker Chaylim, visiting the sick, the next thing should be accompanying the dead. After somebody's sick, very sick, they typically, the Derech Chaylim, that often if person sick, Chayli, then Ifter. So Biker Chaylim and Levaya Samei should be next to each other. Said the stipler, Achnasas Kalas in between. Said the stipler, if you marry you off Kalas, that separates from Biker Chaylim to Levaya Samei. So the stipler told you of Christ would marry Kalazov, and it will separate between your illness and your death. And Rav Kreisworth committed. He raised millions of dollars to marry you off Yisaimus. And he started raising millions. He lived for, I think, 23 years afterwards. 30? Oh, 30 years of Ezis. He lived many, many years after this story. He started marrying off from Chassam, and the stipler told him that separates between Biker Chayim and Levaya Sameis, and he followed the advice of the stipler and lived decades longer after that story. So I wanted to share that my sex was studying Elu Dvarim. But the Torah that we choose to learn, the first Torah of the day, we make a bracha that we're fortunate to learn, and then we want to learn Torah after making a bracha on Torah, and the very first Torah we learn is about the appreciation that how much Torah does for us. It gives a person peiros b'olam hazeh, and the keren stays b'olam haba, the first Torah we learn. So that's what I wanted to share about that. Let's get back to the parsha. Should we sing something of Aaron first, Aryeh? We're not going to be together Shabbos. We're not going to get the pleasure to be together Shabbos. Let's do Viyu Rachamecha. Let's stop and let's pray for our people. Viyu Rachamecha. What? It's amazing Shabbos. This is the Afra. Next week, where's the Afra? Next week's Aryeh Barnett's Afra. Next Shabbos, Kiddush. But he's going to Project Inspire, Aryeh. Viyu Rachamecha, nice haiki. Mezgai lelem alam kodshecha. Viyu Rachamecha. Mezgai lelem alam kodshecha. Viyu Rachamecha. Alam kachecho, ve'yirachamecho,
Eretz Goylelim Alam Kodshecho Ay Ve'yeyu Rachamecho Shalom, Hav Shem Rachmonis, Hav Daina Kindelech. I remind you, Shalom, Hav Shem Rachmonis, Hav Daina Kindelech. Oy le hashkos, le hashkos, teme. Semeyedem liyateres Yisrael b'severes hamifayarim aysach ayidei Shabbos kosher shisha yamim liyadilam nachlas Yaakov b'chirecha Shabbos Kodesh Nafshi Choy Lazavos Echo Shabbos Kodesh Nafshi Yisrael Tzokin Apech Yev Suyun Yev Yomid Hashem Beisel Ahai Kodesh
I want to sing Bishamru with Aryeh. It's this week's parsha. It's Pesukim in this week's parsha, Dan. Bishamru b'nei Yisrael es Shabbos. What does Bishamru mean? It means to keep, to guard Shabbos. But the word Shamar also means to anticipate. Ba'aviv Shamar es Shabbos. Shamru means to be mamten u'metzapeh. Ba'aviv Shamar es Hadavar. To be Vishamru means to be excited by something. Why, Daniel, does the same word, Vishamru, mean to guard something and to be excited by something?
I do not know.
Because the same thing. To guard something means it's precious to you. It means it's important. It means you value it. It means the same thing. So Vishamru means to protect, to keep, but also means to be excited about Shabbos. And Vishamru B'nai Yisrael is the charge that a Yid should be fired up for Shabbos. Vishamru B'nai Yisrael. Now, it doesn't mean fake. It means that we're capable about you getting like heart palpitations to Shabbos. We're capable of that. It means it's in us. It's not asking. God is not asking us fake. Be excited. It means it's in us. Klal Yisrael and Shabbos have something we just said, Ka'ech Saif. We crave Shabbos. It's matim. It's appropriate for us. On a shidduch, the question is it matim for you? Is this like the right one? Do you shtim? The yeshivish word is do you shtim? Us and Shabbos shtim. We're like good for each other. We make sense for each other. We fit with each other. We're matemes. We just matim for each other. We make sense for each other. Vishamru b'nei Yisrael's Shabbos is the charge to be fired up about Shabbos. not just to keep Shabbos, to be like Shabbos. Now, what to get there, certainly it could be hanging out with friends, could be singing beautiful songs. It's tapping into something. But Bishamru B'nai Yisrael Shabbos, Yidden form a very, very beautiful and meaningful and emotional attachment to Shabbos. Bishamru, we anticipate Shabbos. There's a certain buzz and energy. Shabbos. Shabbos is coming. There's an excitement. Bishamru B'nai Yisrael. We're a generation that doesn't want to be soldiers. We want to connect to things. It's no wonder that it's rampant Leil Shishis. It's rampant Tayamehas. I love all these vehicles that a Yid is just getting fired up about Shabbos. Shabbos is coming. We have a Leil Shishi waiting for Shabbos. We have a Tayameha party. We're getting there. Right after Pesach, there'll be Tayamehas. We got to bring Leil Shishi. It's true. Yeah. Do it for sure. We'll do it together, but it's being done. It was done in dorm rooms. We had the Leil Shishi late at night. We have to get excited for Shabbos and get ready for Shabbos Kodesh. But Bishamru B'nai Yisrael to Shabbos, and you know what happens when we're excited about Shabbos? Lasa Shabbos Adaraisam. Shabbos is made for all generations. Our children and grandchildren tap in. If we keep Shabbos in a way without excitement, just like we soldier through, the kids go off. It's not Lasa Shabbos Adaraisam. If Shabbos is fire, my dream for every guy here in your home, Shabbos is fire. It's exciting. It's a chaviyah. It's a party. Daniel, my dream in your home one day, a beautiful home, both Daniels. Shabbos is a party. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael. You know what happens when we're excited for Shabbos? Lasa Shabbos Adaraisam. It makes Shabbos for future generations. The kids tap in too, like, I'm in. And they tap in as well. So we should all be able to tap into Shabbos and be excited for Shabbos. V'shamru, take Rei Aryeh. I want to end with one Dvar Torah. I think I'm going to say it better today than last night, Avi. I think, like, maybe a little more precision. There's there's a creek sieve in Parshas Kisis, a creek sieve. Daniel, first of all, welcome home, Daniel Kapelowitz. Welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home. When I say welcome home, Daniel, right, Zon and I have spoke, right, Zon, I've spoken to many parents. I don't view the yeshiva as a place of walls. And sometimes a guy's best way of being here is by being home for a month or two and working and connecting to his family and taking care of stuff. We're not a shallow place. You have to be here to be here. Yeah, a person's growing and figuring out what they need. We've had guys use the yeshiva tremendously, and it wasn't their job to be here day in, day out. Some guys, they're learning it. Some guys, connecting to their family, taking care of something, working for a few months. So I don't view it per se you left, but I do like you in the flesh right here. So I want to welcome you home and appreciate you back in yeshiva, Daniel. Really appreciate it. Yeah. I want to share a verse with you, Daniel. In the Torah, there's something called the creek sieve. We have the way the Torah is written. We take out that precious Torah from Hashem. We have the way the Torah is written, and we have the way we read it. We have a Messiah how to read it. It's called the creek sieve. So if you look at the Torah, it says one thing, but we have a Messiah to read it differently. And both now, there are big reasons why it's written one way and read a different way. It's saying something. God is talking to us, and there's it was written one way for a reason and read a different way for a reason. I love studying these things and understanding what the Kree, what the Ksiv. You'll see this one. This one, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from the heavens, and he's carrying the Luchos. And it says he throws it from his hands. He throws it from his hands. But there's a creek sieve, Binyamin. Akivali, there's a creek sieve when it says, Maisha, these difficult psukim of Shviris HaLuchas, of Maisha Rabbeinu breaking the Luchas, there's a creek sieve. The Pasuk says, Vahika Sherkarav al Machna, Pasuk Yud Tes Avala, says, Maisha comes near the Machna, the camp, where the Yidden were, Vayaris Egel, and he sees the Yidden being over the Egel, Umichailos, he sees us dancing, Shlema. We were dancing, Shui, around dancing, Vayichar Af Moshe, and the face of Moshe got angry. I like reading that Af Moshe. Charein Af is facial angry. It says that it's not the deepest anger, it's an expression of anger. Vayichar Af Moshe, and the face of Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. There was some expression of anger. Vayashlech miyadav. Now here's the creek sieve. He's carrying the luchos from Hashem. And he throws it from his hands. But there's a creek sieve. The way it's written is miyadai, from his hand, singular. We read it miyadav, he threw it from his hands, plural. And what happened? Did he take both hands and throw it? Or did he throw it with one hand? He's holding the luchos, and it says he threw it from his hand, singular, and we read it from his hands. And why is that? Why is that? So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter famously said, and I'm taking a liberty, I'm not quoting him exact, because I have my own knach, and I don't know if he meant this or not. It's what based on Rabbi Yisrael, based on a true story. But I want to say, based on Rabbi Yisrael, is that two sides to the luchos. There's right side, if you're staring at it, right side and left side. Right side, each one has five commands. The right side are all between man and God. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem, your God. Lo yilcha lihim acherim al panai. No other gods. Don't say Hashem's name in vain. The fourth one, Zachras Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshei, Shabbos Kodesh. And the fifth one is Kavodes Avicha V'Simecha, respect your parents. Now, if you're wondering why the fifth one's on the right side, because there are creators too. The right side is between man and his creator. The left side are all between man and man. L'Sertzach, don't murder. L'Senayf, Sneyuf, illicit relations. Kidnapping, gnevel, signaivu, saying false testimony. Leisachmaid, craving what somebody else has. So the left side are all the commands, ben adam l'chaveray. The right side is between a person and his creator. The left side is between man and man. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, when Moshe Rabbeinu is walking down, the breach he saw was a breach ben adam l'makim. The egel was some form of avodah zarah. And so the breach was only on the right side. And the first thought was to throw down the right side. He had two sides of the luchos. The left side, we were actually very unified. We were dancing, we were holding hands and dancing. It was Michaelis. So the thought was to throw it from the right side. And as such it's written, the way it's written in the Torah is he released the right side. But Klal Yisrael reads it that both sides were thrown down. What's going on? Where was the breach between man and man? It was a breach ben adam l'makom. And what I want to say to the chevra is the deepest source of ben adam l'chavera being good to somebody is because they have a nishmas Hashem inside of them. They have a piece of God and they have a huge, huge person in front of you. And any breach in avodah zarah, any lack of faith in God will ultimately translate to a chesaron ben adam l'chavera. Because the deepest place of respect is the Son of Hashem. Any breach in the right side will ultimately drop both sides. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu first, the way it's written is he dropped the right, but ultimately both sides fall out. It's miyad to both hands. I want to tell you a marriage secret. We have a chassid 2 weeks for marriage. This might be the most important message in all of marriage, if possible. For sure, top two or three things I would tell a guy, but it's relevant even not to a chassan. We'll all be chassanim. Daniel, I want you to hear this marriage tip. It's true, and it's true in our own lives. The respect to another person is we have a soul. The soul is limitless. A soul is endlessly big. Allowing your own self to discover new things. We have endless in us. It says the neshama, a person uses only a little piece. Most of our soul goes up to the heaven, is not even near us. As we're tapping into soul, Hashem sends more parts to us. Spiritually, that's what happens. As you're using, Hashem sends more. Min Hashemayim. The soul reaches till the heavens. It's limitless. As you're like tapping into more, more becomes accessible, more becomes accessible. Don't ever say on yourself, I'm like done and I know me. Leave room for the mystery of discovering new things in yourself. It's true we have annoying patterns. And we're not like being pretend. We say, ah, Kalish, there you go again, late again. Allow also for something new inside. And different things we could tap in. Well, I didn't. Whoa, Daniel, where'd that come from? You can get new things and endless new inside of us. We're capable. Stop thinking, you know, I'm 49. I haven't scratched the surface of meeting Dan Camp. A little bit meeting. You can find new things, discover new things, new meaning. Even things you learned yesterday, don't be so old. Learn it again. Like, that's not what I think today. You can find new things, develop new things, and Hashem sends us situations in our life that access new things in us, new stages. The biggest secret to marriage is be a newlywed your whole life. But I'm talking real. Don't be stupid. Stupid people say, I know my wife, she's this. And they're like, it's like stale. It's baloney. It's a lie. It's a lie. Allow her to be new, a year in, 5 years in, 50 years in, you're discovering new stuff. And it's true. Very shallow people, and they do it because they want predictability. I know her, she's this. You fucking know her? Allow, I'm a newlywed mamish. My new situations, I see my wife, I'm like, where'd that come from? What's that? And things bring it out, your ages and stages of your children, the different scenarios of life. And it doesn't mean that it's true and it's hard, it's tricky, because people have patterns of behaviors. So it looks old. Oh, there he goes. Don't be patient and wait around and you see things. You're like, where'd that come from? There are things that won't fit into normal patterns and reactions and responses and situations. We have a soul that has endless depth. You have a lot of magic if you stay open to see new pieces. And to ever think, I know her. You're going to the class, you don't know her, and 30 years in, you don't know her. It's not true. She doesn't. Allow for new, allow situations. Where'd that come from? Like, what? And you'll see things, new actions, new depth, people tap in. You have to allow somebody to be new. And it's difficult. It's a challenge because there are familiar patterns. And there are unhealthy habits, and habits we all have, but we also could tap in. We have moments and times we could tap in them. But we have to let ourselves and let our spouses. We're not just same old, and we're not just, allow. One of the beauties of the yeshiva, you see people like growing, and it's fresh. It's allowed for people to grow and change. And by the way, allow yourself when you're 30, 40, 60, 90, allow for new things. I'm 49. I just like discovered I'm in complete ignorant and discovering like a world of Torah that I didn't allow myself younger. And I'm allowing myself to see, to change, to grow, to advance. I'm allowing for that. It's funny, people get, we all could be very stable people. Don't be nervous. But you could grow a lot. This nikud of allowing for new in yourself and in your spouse, allow yourself to see new things, and you will. And you will. It's not just familiar patterns. You see something like, what? And the new stages forces newness, forces new tapping in. You have kids at different stages and all different other situational things in life that force newness and force tapping in. Allow yourself, be open to see it. Stop thinking you know. I know, she doesn't, stop. She has certain patterns and I admit it, stop thinking you know yourself. I always stop. Be willing to like explore, be willing to like see. Then you say, where'd you get that from? Because you have a deep soul. The place of Bin Adam L'Chaveira is the awareness that we're Nishmas Hashem, we have a Tzelem Elokim. Every single, it's a fact, there's not cute stuff. Soul, that's true. Now, Fred, I got it, I know my soul. No, you don't. And the guy says, I get me, it's not my type. Maybe I hear. And there is such a thing called type, and there's such a thing called natures. It's a tricky place, because there's such a thing called a nature and a type. But you have a soul, don't ever forget that. And there's things to tap in and you'll surprise yourself. Wow. And let for that discovering of new, this finding parts and places and strengths. When we heard that lady this week, that's a big person. We had that because she tapped in. She tapped into something deep. She describes how normal. She was like begging. You want me to call my kids to describe how normal I am? I scream. She was like begging to understand. I'm normal. I just found something. And if you think she's finished, that lady was big. She found it all. I promise she hasn't scratched the surface. She found big stuff. Allow for that. Allow for that in yourself, Aryeh. Allow for that in your spouse. You stay young and fresh like that. It stays intriguing and mysterious. Otherwise, things that I know already. I see it. It's not true. It's not true in ourselves. It's not true in others. The great people are 90 and they're growing and finding new places. Like, they have a certain pattern. They have a lot of things they developed and built and still open. Reb Nachman spoke a lot about this. Might have been like the main thing Reb Nachman stood for. Ever expanding, ever going into a new area, finding something. Reb Nachman, this was like a big Breslov Torah. Not being afraid, not like getting this old. Somebody so old and stale. I know already. You know, two people like know each other. No, you don't know each other. Don't be like that. Let for a new thing. There's a Rebbe that a lot of us, that some of the Rebbeim Yeshiva know, some of the Bachim in Eretz Yisrael met. He writes two things a day, like amazing stuff he saw in his spouse. He's like amazed. He's willing. And it's not like he doesn't know already. Don't you? I have her. Allow that there are new things and new experience and new responses that don't fit in a pattern. It's interesting, Daniel. I'm closing. This is this last thought I'm closing with. When guys come to yeshiva, so there's a temptation of every Rebbe. We're doing a lot of interviews now. I met a kid, and I was convinced he was Aaron Schmel. I do it, it's a Yetzirah, that's high praises on a kid. It's a Yetzirah to do that because unfamiliar is scary for us. unpredictable. So to the brain will go there. It puts it in a box to let us be comfortable. Oh, he's this guy. We love meeting a kid. Oh, another Danielle Silver. Whoa, that's a lot. That means he must hold the world, that kid. But I do that, Danielle, as a way of not being scared, like a new guy. And you always have egg on your face because people are new. And we do it, and there's a degree. Yeah, people have certain, you know, do the Enneagram. He's a 4, he's a 6, he's a 1. Yeah, there's a degree. We love what's safe, what we know already. So we like that. Allow to not know. In friendships, you don't know. And be willing to see new things. Your closest friend, there's magic, there's mystery there. You think you know him? You think he has him? He has new parts, new places. Sometimes it will come out dramatic. And your friend all of a sudden becomes Hasidish. And that's weird. It's very bizarre. Sometimes it will be very, very subtle and small. And it will be one thing in a month. You'll see in a split like, you had that. If you're wise, you'll see it. You'll see your spouse, and it's cool. And life stays so fresh and magical, I don't know her. We're friends, we're close, but there's new things. It's not, let's see what comes. And I'm like, whoa, where'd you find that? Why'd that happen? The analogy, the external analogy, and it's much deeper than this, is it sticky? Imagine Aryeh never tells his wife he sings. And 30 years into the marriage, she's married to him, all of a sudden he has like a gorgeous voice. She's like, what is that? You had a good voice the whole time? That's much, much less than what I'm talking about. That's like nothing compared to like depth and like you meet the soul. And if you're open-minded and patient and present, I promise you'll see things like that and you'll lose your mind. Much bigger. Much, a beautiful voice is cool, a talent is great, much deeper. It's like, people have this as they go through the journey of life. Life stays fresh. Life stays very unstale, very. It's not same old, and this old couple have the same jokes, and they're both bored of each other. No. Fresh, new, ever-developing. So when Moshe Rabbeinu saw a breach ben adam l'makom, some lack of faith in Hashem, what suffers ben adam l'chaveri, ultimately he drops both sides from his hands. There's actually a weakness ben adam l'chaveri, because the source of ben adam l'chaveri is the endlessness that's in a person. He has a soul that attaches all the way up. A breach in that is a lack of appreciation, comes out as lack of appreciation in another person. It will come out. Understand it. Understand that every guy you see in the yeshiva, a visiting guy, we have in yeshiva a range of guys, and we have guys sitting here on a Friday learning Torah. A guy asked me, I'll be able to stay around the mainstream guys, right? Who was like nervous from a guy who looks different. Understand he's a soul who's endless. He has Nishmas Hashem, Chelik Elokami Mal Mamish. He has a lot. You don't know. The best thing you'll come to yeshiva is you'll meet that guy and you'll see. You'll be like, whoa. He has a lot. You don't know. Good. There could be patterns that are tough, that could be frustrating. He has a lot. He is a lot. And when you know a little bit, there's more. I saw Avi was wearing a shirt. It says, those that know, know. I want to say those that know still don't know. I'm saying something different. When you think you know, you still don't know. Those that know don't know. Do you know what I mean? Even you think you know already. You think, I got it. Those that know still don't know. We are in ourselves and in others. There's more. I know already. I got it. There's more. Okay. I go to Shabbos. Everybody say Asher Kodesh.
That was very sure. Good job. Be honest.